word of God given us today is Acts chapter 17, verse 10 to 15. Verse 10 to 15. Allow me to read. As soon as it was night, the brothers sent Paul and Silas away to Berea. On arriving there, they went to the Jewish synagogue. Now the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. Many of the Jews believed, as did also a number of prominent Greek women and many Greek men. When the Jews in Thessalonica learned that Paul was preaching the word of God at Berea, they went there too, agitating the crowds and stirring them up. The brothers immediately sent Paul to the coast, but Silas and Timothy stayed at Berea. The man who escorted Paul brought him to Athens and then left with instructions for Silas and Timothy to join him as soon as possible. Amen. And stir them up to harm Paul. With the help of brothers of faith, Paul and his companions could rush to get out of Thessalonica in the middle of the night, and in 3 days arrived at Berea, 80 kilometers away from Thessalonica. Upon arriving at Berea, Paul went to the Jewish synagogue as usual and preached the gospel to people there. The people of Berea Paul met there were with more noble thoughts and spirit than those of Thessalonica. They desperately received the gospel preached by Paul. And after receiving the gospel, they deeply thought about the Old Testament they had every day in order to make sure if Jesus of Nazareth, whom Paul was preaching about, was the Messiah foretold by the Old Testament. As they deeply thought about the sermon preached by Paul and the Bible, they could not help but believe the Lord, who was revealed by Jesus Christ. As a result, many received the gospel and became Christians. Among those who received the gospel, there were not a few Greek people and prominent women other than the Jews of Berea. Through John chapter 8, verse 12, God said that He is the light of the world, which means this world is the dark. As the light and the dark is opposite each other, the dark can never be together with the light anyhow. Berea was the world of the darkness until Paul and his companions got there. Is there no knowledge, arts, culture, trends, or lamps at night? But in God's sight, Berea was as dark as pitch black. The appearance of Paul as such dark Berea means the light of the Lord came to exist in Berea. Then, isn't it easy to guess there surely was resistance of the dark? What is important is who took the role of the dark. In verse 13, when the Jews in Thessalonica learned that Paul was preaching the word of God at Berea, they went there too, agitating the crowds and stirring them up. The news that Paul went to Berea and was preaching the word of Jesus Christ was brought to the Jews of Thessalonica. Berea was not a neighborhood village of Thessalonica. It was 80 kilometers away from Thessalonica, which would take 3 days on foot. Then how did the Jews of Thessalonica know Paul went to Berea and preached the gospel? Was there a telephone? Was it possible to have some information online in real time?
아시아 대륙에 살던 바울이 어떤 과정을 겪어서 유럽
That might be known by one of the Jews of Berea who heard from Paul how he could get to Berea in Europe from Asia. And he or she might let the Jews in Thessalonica know in person. Who are the Jews of Thessalonica? They've formed a mob to hurt Paul in jealousy, didn't they? Did they not drag Jason and some other brothers before the city officials, seeing Paul and his companions cause trouble all over the world? The Jews of Thessalonica were furious when knowing Paul came to Berea. They went 80 kilometers to Berea right away and agitated the crowd, citizens of Berea, and stirred them up. No need to say that, as in Thessalonica, they falsely accused Paul and his companions as being politically impure. Now, let us think deeply about the circumstances of the text. The light of the Lord came to exist in Berea. Paul preached the word of Jesus Christ in the Jewish synagogue. He delivered the light of Jesus Christ. Those who received the light thought deeply every day about the Bible to ensure that the Old Testament they had was the very light. And many Jewish people and a few Greek men and prominent women received the gospel as Christians. They themselves became the lamps to deliver the light of Jesus Christ. The light of Jesus Christ got to the dark Berea, and there appeared many lamps to deliver the light. Berea turned brighter than much. Isn't it touching? But one of the Jews in Berea, listening to the sermon of Paul, went to Thessalonica. Once again, Thessalonica is not a neighborhood village. You have to walk 3 days to Thessalonica from Berea. The reason that he went such long distance was to let the Jews of Thessalonica know Paul went to Berea. He might feel so responsible that he went there right away. However, he was a person who never think the most important and fundamental things. Knowing Paul was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ in Berea, the Jews of Thessalonica immediately went to Berea by walk for 3 days. They agitated and stirred up the citizens of Berea by saying Paul was politically dangerous to the Greek people and betrayed the Judaism to the Jews. They were eager to remove Paul in jealousy. But thoughtless, they were ignorant by not thinking at all that they were the dark, trying to remove the light. Last year, the Korea Baseball League garnered a lot of attention, attracting 7 million audience. One of the topics which drew attention was that Yeom Kyung-yup, strategy and base running coach, became the new manager of Nexen Heroes at the end of the season. 45-year-old manager Yeom was not a star when he was a player. Since 2007, when he started coaching after retiring and working at the front, he had never made an impression as a leader. But he became the main coach for Nexen Heroes after he moved over to Nexen Heroes as strategy and base running coach on December 16, 2011, because his contributions to making the team the first ranking team were acknowledged. When he was promoted to the manager position, more people thought that it was unexpected than otherwise. This is not unrelated to his past record, which is not stellar. But at the beginning of this year, a sports writer predicted that he will succeed as a coach and paradoxically gave a reason that he was bound to succeed because he was a 100% batter, a player who failed as a batter during his playing days. Manager Yeom, during the 10 years from the time he entered the Dolphins of Taepyeongyang and retired from Hyundai Unicorns, had an average batting record of .195. His best season was 1998 when his batting record reached .265. In contrast, his record for 6 seasons out of 10 seasons was lower than 1%. And around 1996 and 1997, his batting record was zero. While he was playing, his defense and base running skills were thought to be outstanding, but his records were at the bottom. But it was not the case that he didn't have talent for batting at all. If he didn't possess all talent, such talent, how could he become a pro baseball player? While he attended Korea University, he was the number 4 batter for his team and clearly had talent as a batter. Mr. Yun, looking back, commented that in trusting my talent, I didn't do my best as a pro. But it wasn't the case at all that he tried hard. He practiced swing for more than 1,000 times. But because his batting record was at 1%, each coach told him to do different things. And Coach Yum, in order to improve even a little bit, continuously changed his batting position. It was a vicious circle. He didn't waste it even a single day, but he failed to take control over his training. Mr. Yum, in looking back, said, "If you practice without thinking, it is just physical labor. Physical labor is honorable. No one should ignore or discount the value and the meaning of physical labor. But the reason Manager Yum mentioned labor was not to devalue its meaning, but to emphasize that if you train without thinking, training ends up being useless and harmful self-waste. Isn't that true? If you swing a bat 1,000 times a day, but without thinking, what benefit can come out of it except to use up your physical energy? Therefore, if you think in a wrong way, or if you don't think at all, that training will not have any benefit. So in this way, Manager Yum could only fail as a pro baseball player because he trained without thinking, although he sweated every day. Therefore, he was bound to make each player practice each time while thinking about what his shortcomings are and how they could be overcome and on what he should focus, and he would ultimately end up succeeding as a manager. This argument of the sports writer has considerable persuasiveness. But if we think about it, doesn't every coach make the players think about his or her weaknesses and strengths? So ultimately, wouldn't it depend on each player as to whether he or she practices thoughtfully every day and what thoughts he or she brings to practice? The same goes to the relationship between God and people. Even if the Lord gives the word, which is the mirror of thoughts, to help people consider in their living, it is people themselves who should actually think. The person who walked 3 days to announce at Thessalonica that Paul was appeared in Berea, and the people of Thessalonica who walked 3 days to harm Paul in Berea. were all Jewish people who consider themselves to be the chosen people of God. Every Jewish person is born as a Judaic believer. From the time they are young, they grow up being trained in Judaic laws and scriptures. No other people could match their zealousness in terms of their religious training and passion. But unlike the Christians of Berea, they did not try to think about whether Jesus, whom Paul was preaching about, was really the Messiah that Old Testament talks about, or God, or God's words, or God's providence. As a result, their zealousness about their religious training and traditions ended up being merely self-harming acts that proved that they were darkness opposing the light. The verse 14 tells us the result of their incitement of the citizens of Berea in order to harm Paul. The believers immediately sent Paul to the coast, but Silas and Timothy stayed at Berea. The Jews of Thessalonica had already incited people of Thessalonica. They were experienced. They knew very well how to stir up people. And the people of Berea also became easily stirred up by them. The atmosphere was so tense that brothers in faith who had accepted the Lord from Paul sent Paul to the coast in a big hurry. As I said 2 weeks ago, the coast means the harbor. In other words, Berea's harbor. They sent Paul off to the harbor in a hurry, but they did not make him go alone. In the verse 15, those who escorted Paul brought him to Athens and then left with instructions for Silas and Timothy to join him as soon as possible. A few of the brothers of faith not only led Paul to the harbor, but got on the ship with him and directly accompanied him to Athens. Athens was no less than 320 kilometers away from Berea. Because the Jews of Thessalonica who descended upon Berea was so full of murderous intent that they could not rest easy until they had escorted Paul to Athens. We will examine later in more detail as to why Paul made Silas and Timothy to stay behind in Berea and why he asked Silas and Timothy to join him as soon as possible in Athens to brothers who are returning to Berea. What is important is that at this time, Paul went over to Achaia, which was beyond Macedonia, which Paul had not planned at all. That the brothers of Berea not stopped at leading Paul to the harbor, but got on a ship with him and accompanied him to Athens shows how desperate the situation was. Upon arriving at the harbor under such desperate situation, they could not pick and choose their destination. What was important for them at the time was to get on the ship that was scheduled to leave the port as soon as possible. There was no guarantee that the Jews of Thessalonica would not come after them to the port. Further, the ships at the time did not keep regular schedule. They left only when the passengers and cargoes were fully loaded. When Paul and the brothers of Berea arrived at the port, there happened to be a ship that was due for immediate departure, and this ship happened to be headed to Athens of Achaia, which was a colony of the Roman Empire. As we know already, the reason Paul, who was in Asia, crossed over the Aegean Sea to visit Europe was because of the vision of the Macedonian man he had in Troas. Paul accepted the vision of the Macedonian man, asking him to come to Macedonia and help us as the guidance of the Lord, and got on a ship and went to Macedonia with his companions without delay. Macedonia was the original destination for Paul, who went to Europe. At that time, Paul had revisited various cities that he had gone during his first mission trip. Accordingly, Paul, upon completing his evangelical activities in Macedonia, would probably have ended his second mission trip there and returned to Antioch of Syria in Asia, which was where he was based. But the evil acts of Jews of Thessalonica, who went as far as Berea to harm Paul upon hearing that he had appeared there, ended up enabling Paul to go as far as Athens and Achaia. But this was not the first time that something like this happened in Europe. The first place that Paul visited when he went over to Macedonia was Philippi, a major city in Macedonia. Paul delivered the gospel to Lydia by the stream outside the city gate, and Lydia, along with her family, became the first baptized Christian in Europe by accepting the Lord and receiving baptism. After that, Paul received beating because of the false accusations of evil employers who were exploiting the poor woman who was under the influence of an evil spirit and was imprisoned in an underground cell. But because of that unjust imprisonment, the jailer of the Philippi prison and his family came to accept the Lord and became baptized Christians, and together with Lydia's family, formed that famous Philippi church. After Paul left Philippi, he visited Macedonia's administrative capital, Thessalonica, and many people there also accepted the Lord from Paul. But Jewish people who were jealous of Paul went as far as enlisting mobsters to hurt Paul, and the brothers of faith made Paul escape in the middle of the night in a big hurry. That made a lot of people in Berea to come to accept the Lord through Paul. And by the Jews of Thessalonica going to Berea to harm Paul, Paul went beyond Macedonia to Athens of Achaia, which he had not planned. And of course, he preached the gospel there too. And because he went to Athens and Achaia, he was able to visit another major city in Achaia, Corinth. And because Paul went to Corinth, the letters he wrote to the believers of Corinth, Corinthians 1 and 2, became a part of the New Testament. And as I have said 12 weeks ago, because Paul went to Corinth, the calling to evangelize Rome, the heart of the Roman Empire, came to sprout in his heart. In this way, Paul was able to continue the will of the Lord to expand the light of truth in the midst of continuous persecutions, false plots against them, and hardships. It was not the case that Paul became the subject of false accusations and was persecuted because he did something unrighteousness or because he was an unjust person. There was only one reason for that. He had entrusted his life to the Lord. But not once did Paul complain to the Lord, saying, "Is it all there after I gave my life to you?" It was because he was a thinking Christian. He knew that through all of the circumstances he was enduring, the Lord was saving his people, that he was saved, and he was fulfilling his will in the history of this world without an inch of error. And so, despite severe persecution, false plots, and hardships, he was able to always rejoice and give thanks in everything. The more he thought about how the Lord's wondrous providence of salvation was being fulfilled through him, there could be nothing more joyful and thankful than being used as the instrument of the Lord. Knowing all this and going back in time, the Jews of Thessalonica, who had driven Paul from Macedonia so that he had to cross over to Athens of Achaia, also ended up contributing to fulfilling the Lord's will. But if Paul was used as the good instrument of the Lord, the Jews of Thessalonica were evil instrument. And the difference between them was how they thought. No matter how much we confess to believing in God, if we do not live as thinking Christians, the more we are zealous of our religious training, we will increase the darkness of this world in opposition to the Lord's light and will hurt our spirituality. And we would only live during this year as evil instruments who end up hurting others without us even knowing about it. Let us, during this year, like this year's motto of our church, live as thinking Christians who obey the commands of God and think of God. Think of God's words. Think of God's providence. No matter what situation unfolds before us, we will be able to rejoice always and live a life of thanks, that give thanks for everything, because we will come to know that the Lord will use us to live thoughtfully as His good instruments for this age. Let us pray. No matter how often a baseball player repeats heart training, if he does not think about what he should fix, supplement, and strengthen through his training, that training would be nothing more than wasting himself. Thank you for making us understand that even if we say we believe in God, we do not think about the God of Trinity, the words of God, the providence of God, the more passionate our religious zeal is, we will only increase the darkness of this world in opposition of the Lord's light. Our religious training will be self-harming activity that will hurt our spirituality, and our lives will only end up being used as evil instrument that hurts another person. Rather than being a thoughtless persecutor, help us to be a thoughtful person who suffers ordeals. During this year, may it become our habit to think of the God of Trinity who created this universe. Think of God's words that God gave us as life instructions, and to think of God's providence revealed in nature and human history. Although a completely unexpected situation unfolds before us, allow us to rejoice and give thanks in everything in such situation because of the Lord who is using us as His good instrument and is fulfilling His will without an inch of error. And may through our lives lived in such a way, may the Lord's light brighten the soul of yet one more person. Amen.